Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Please join us Thursday, April 30th at 12 noon Eastern, 7 p.m. Israel time for the Siyum celebrating the completion of Sefer Shmuel Aleph with Mrs. Alana Glatt. Please sign up at ouwomen.org/Siyum. And it's not too late to join Counting Towards Sinai, a daily podcast leading up to Shavuos. Please sign up at ouwomen.org/CTS26. And now for today's perek.
Hello and welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, Chapter 31. Yesterday, in Perek Lamed, David and his men returned home from what they thought was their greatest challenge, only to discover a far more devastating reality awaiting them. Their city of Ziklag had been burned to the ground, and their wives and children were tragically taken captive by Amalek. The pain was overwhelming. They cried until they had no strength left, and in that moment of anguish, David faced not only personal loss, but internal danger as well, as his own men were beginning to turn on him, blaming him for this entire situation and even threatening to stone him. But instead of collapsing under the weight of it all, Vayitchazek David v'Hashem Elokav, David strengthened himself in Hashem. He was able to recognize, even within the darkness, a glimmer of divine chesed, that they had returned while things were still fresh and perhaps all was not yet lost. Turning to Hashem for guidance, David inquired through the Urim V'Tumim and was assured, "Pursue them and you will succeed." With that clarity, David set out with his men, showing compassion even along the way, and ultimately waged a miraculous battle against Amalek, defeating them and recovering everything, every person, every possession, nothing at all was lost. And in the aftermath, David modeled true leadership, insisting that all would share equally in the spoils, and recognizing that the victory belonged not to them, but to Hashem. As we turn now to Perek Lamed Aleph, our final perek will be learning together in this incredible Sefer of Shmuel Aleph, though the storyline will very much continue into Sefer Shmuel Bet, as they are in reality one Sefer. We now shift our focus back to Shaul HaMelech, where his kingship and life will sadly come to their tragic and final end. Our perek opens up Pasuk Aleph by setting the stage for us of the Plishti attack now beginning against the Bnei Israel. Uplishtim nilchamim b'Yisrael, v'yanusu anshei Yisrael mipnei plishtim, v'yiplu chalalim b'har ha-Gilboa. The Plishtim were battling with the Bnei Israel, and the men of Israel ran off from before the Plishtim and fell slain upon Har HaGilboa. Although the Jewish army was large, armed and ready for this war, unfortunately, as it had been foretold under those strange circumstances in Perek Chaf Chet, the Plishtim were going to have the upper hand in this tragic final battle for our Sefer. And as such, the Bnei Israel were already facing heavy casualties from the onset of this battle. And despite knowing the outcome, Shaul nonetheless bravely brought himself and his sons out to this battle, accepting the will of Hashem here, and Shaul truly used every last bit of his strength to defend his beloved nation, the Bnei Israel. Pasuk Bet, Vayidbeku plishtim et Shaul v'et banav, vayaku plishtim et Yehonatan, v'et Avinadav, v'et Malchishua b'nei Shaul. And in the midst of this extremely tense war, the Plishtim managed to overtake Shaul and his sons, and the Plishtim slew Yonatan, Avinadav, and Malchishua, three of Shaul's sons. Shaul's youngest son, Ishbosheth, was not present at this battle, and therefore survived this attack. He's a Mirt Hashem going to resurface shortly in Shmuel Bet. Pasuk Gimel, Vatichbad ha-melchama el Shaul, vayimtza'uhu ha-morim, anashim bakashet, vayachel me'od me'hamorim. Now alone, with his three strong sons no longer by his side, the battle then concentrated against Shaul. The Plishtim were narrowing in on the king. And despite his bravery and strength, pushing back many of the soldiers, the skilled Plishti archers, the ones with their bows, laid their eyes upon Shaul. And Shaul became extremely frightened. The Abarbanel points out that Shaul here wasn't afraid of his death, as he knew that was imminent, as had been foretold to him by Shmuel HaNavi himself. And he was willing to accept his death humbly in front of Hashem. What frightened Shaul here was that they would target their arrows here in a way which would forever harm him, but would not kill him fully. and as such, they'd be able to prolong his agony, torturing him with unparalleled cruelty once and for all the battles that they had fought against one another. Prolonging his agony was not only an extremely frightening prospect, it would also demoralize the entire Jewish people and cause a public chilul Hashem, publicly disgracing the name of God, that the vile Plishtim would be able to treat the Mashiach Hashem in such a fashion. With all of this in mind, Pasuk Dalet now paints for us an extremely difficult scene. Vayomer Shaul l'nosei keilav, shlof charbecha, v'dakreni ba, pen yavou ha'arilim ha'ela, u'dekaruni v'hit'alulubi, v'lo ava nosei keilav, ki yarei me'od, v'yikach Shaul et acherev, v'yipol aleha. Shaul now turned to his armor-bearer and asked him, "Draw your sword and stab me with it, lest these uncircumcised people come and stab me and make sport of me." But his arms-bearer did not consent, for he was very frightened. According to the Metzudat David, he was afraid to lay his hand on the Mashiach Hashem. So Shaul took the sword himself and fell upon it. Tragically, watching the certainty of death hover before his eyes, and with his arms-bearer unwilling to lay a hand upon him, Shaul HaMelech made a difficult decision here to jump onto his own sword, rather than allow the Plishtim to defile his body and publicly desecrate him before the entire nation. Although taking one's own life is generally absolutely forbidden by Jewish law, Rabbi Dr. P. Rosenzweig, quoting the Mishpesot Zahav, summarizes four clear and concise opinions as to Shaul's rationale in acting the way that he did here, and why, according to Chazal, his death was not considered a suicide, rather as an exceptional case for his precise circumstance in this very given moment. The first, Shaul was extremely fearful that under torture he might be forced to commit an act of idolatry. The second, he took his own life out of fear that if Jewish soldiers attempted a rescue mission for their leader, the king, many, many, many other Jewish lives would have been lost. Third, he anticipated that if captured alive, the Plishtim would have humiliated Hashem's consecrated king, causing a tremendous and public chilul Hashem. And fourth, King Shaul believed that Shmuel's prophecy was coming true and that his fate had already been sealed here. And so tragically, Pasuk Hei continues, Vayar nosei keilav ki meit Shaul, vayipol gam hu al charbo vayamat imo. When Shaul's armor-bearer saw that he was dying, more details as to these final moments will be detailed further in your learning tomorrow of Shmuel Bet Perek Aleph. His arms-bearer also fell upon his sword to die alongside his master, the king. He wanted to be alongside his master even after his death. And Pasuk Vav recaps the tragic outcome of this battle for us, that Shaul HaMelech, the great Shaul HaMelech, and his three sons and his armor-bearer, as well as all of his men who were with him, tragically died together on that very day. This was truly a tragic and devastating day for the entire Jewish nation. And Pasuk Zion tells us that when the men of Israel, who were on the other side of the valley and on the other side of the Jordan, the closest area to Plishti territory, saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Shaul and his sons had tragically died, they abandoned their cities and fled as far as they could, and the Plishtim then came and settled in their vacant cities. Now Pasuk Chet tells us, Vayihi mimacharat vayavau Plishtim lefashet et hachalalim vayimtzu et Shaul v'et shloshet banav noflim bahar ha-Gilboa. That it happened the next day, when the Plishtim came to assess all that had taken place in the battle the day before, and to plunder the corpses that they would find strewn across the battlefield, looking to seize their clothing, their weapons, and anything else of value, that they happened to find the bodies of Shaul and his three sons fallen upon Har HaGilboa. Finding King Shaul was not their intention in coming back out to the battlefield, but once they found him there lifeless, Psukim Tet and Yod tell us regretfully, Vayichritu et Rosho, Vayafshitu et Kelav, Vayishalchu be'eretz Plishtim, saviv levaser, beit atabehem be'et ha'am. Vayasimu et kelav beit ashtarot ve'et gviyoto, tak'u bechomat beit shan. That they shockingly severed his head and stripped off his gear and sent heralds all about the lands of the Plishtim to inform those in the temple of their idols and the people. And they placed his gear in the temple of Ashtaroth, and they hung up his remains upon the wall of Beit Shan. According to the Mabim, the Plishtim placed Shaul's weapons in the temple of Ashtaroth, but his head they placed directly into the house of their god Dagon, in order to publicize their victory and to make a statement here. Once, Dagon's head was cut off because of the Aron of Hashem, but now, today, the head of Israel's king lies in Dagon's very temple. They were in essence trying to boast that after all of the back and forth that we've been privy to watch throughout this sefer, they felt that they finally came out on the top. This truly was a disgrace for Shaul and his sons. But thankfully, this barbaric defilement would not last very long. Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Bet tell us, Vayishmu'u elav yoshvei yavesh gilad et asher asu plishtim l'Shaul, Vayakumu kol ish chayil, Vayelchu kol halayla, Vayikhu et gviyat Shaul, Vayat gviyot banav mechomat Beit Shan, Vayavou yavesha, Vayisrefu otam sham. That the inhabitants of Yavesh Gilad, the people we learned about all the way back in Perek Yud Aleph, who were threatened by the evil King Nachash of Ammon, the one who had wanted to poke out their right eyes, yet were miraculously saved by King Shaul himself, they heard about him, about what the Plishtim had done to Shaul HaMelech, and all of their daring men arose and went throughout the night and took the remains of Shaul and the remains of his sons from the wall of Beit Shan, and they came back to Yavesh Gilad, and they burned their belongings there, as according to the Metzudat David was the practice to not get any benefit from the belongings of a deceased king. Other Mefarshim understand these words differently. And despite the threat to their own lives here, the people of Yavesh Gilad had eternal Hakaras HaTov to Shaul for his bravery in forcefully saving them from their evil enemies. And so they risked their lives to recover him and his son's bodies, to repay his kindness, and to give the proper Kavod Acharon, the proper final honor, to their holy and beloved King Shaul. Again, we see the centrality of Hakaras HaTov and the great lengths many of those in our Sefer were willing to go to properly show it. And our Sefer ends off with our final Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayikhu et atzmotehem, vayikberu tachar ha'eshel, v'yavesha v'yatsumu shivat yamim. That they then took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree in Yavesh, and they fasted for 7 days. According to the Radak, the 7 days they mourned and fasted here were also done out of Hakarat HaTov to their great leader Shaul, who had saved them after Nachash had granted them 7 days to find a way to defend themselves from his barbaric plans. Although our Sefer truly ends off on a tragic and heartbreaking note, it also can be seen slightly differently as a nod to Shaul's prior achievements. Let us not forget that this man, whose latest stage in life feels like a downward spiral, was still to be remembered as a hero, a savior of Am Yisrael, and one whose noble deeds were still recognized by the community and by Hashem. Wow, we've reached this moment together, the conclusion of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. It's been such a privilege and a pleasure. Thank you for joining in on this incredible journey together. Today's perek and the learning of our entire Sefer is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.